Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
But I'm now also joined in our studio by one of our greatest writers, Pat McKay. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, Miriam.
Thanks for being here. Listen, you've got a great event this afternoon in Smock Alley Theatre at 2:30. Tell me about it. It's kind of words and music from Soul's High Lonesome Valley.
I kind of like to think of it as a sort of an upside down, inside out sort of literary rambling house, if you remember them of old, or maybe a better way of putting it would be an old time vintage radio show for the future. But your hosts today in the Smock Alley would be much more interesting than me, because interpreting various spirits of James Joyce, Hank Williams and Philip Larkin will be a veritable galaxy of stage screen stars like Kevin McGahern from Republic of Telly, I'm sure you know.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah, very interesting screen actor as well. The legendary Paddy Goodwin from Drogheda, whose album was coming out in April. There's a host of stars playing in that album, so look out for that. But the real stars of that album are his songs, and he'll be singing one of them today. There's someone from Monaghan called Liz Deary, who's a friend of mine, and she sings like an ecstatic skylark. She'd be singing Red River Valley and The Coast of Malabar, which I hope some of your listeners will remember. It's an old 40s and 50s song. Kind of about the inimitable Larry Bowe, who'll be whistling Love's Old Sweet Song, and he has an album called The Troubadour Trail coming out very soon, and you can contribute to the making of that album if you want. But the centrepiece of our kind of psychedelic, traditional, punkish Millen Pipe based fugue is the notorious Ian Lynch from the band Lancome. So that will be interesting. That's called Monsignor and the Apples of Summer. He'll be playing.
And people can go along, and actually it's actually very cheap. It's part of the Dublin Books Festival at Smock Alley.
It's part of
it?
The Dublin Book Festival, and it's only €7 in, and there's €5 concession. So that's cheap at the price, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. At 2:30. Of course, you used to be a musician. Did you play the piano in pubs?
I played the piano in pubs any time I got drunk. No, I was hopeless because I had a three-chord kind of trick. But then again, you know, Hank Williams did only, you know, play three chords. You know, the Bob Dylan songs, a lot of them were very... So basically it was the feeling of the songs that I was interested in, and still am, really.
Yeah, and your work, actually, in a serious note, I mean, it's hugely influenced by music, isn't it?
It's all kind of moving towards music in the way you probably best describe yourself as a musician, monkey. You know, nearly everything I've ever written, whether it's of any worth or not, has the title of a song somewhere, either is actually the title of a song or it's going towards one.
What's this? Explain to me. You talk about synesthesia. Explain that.
Well, synesthesia is a kind of thing that's often applied to Bob Dylan, for example. You know, it's a kind of way of apprehending the world. You know, when Bob Dylan writes something like "The ghost of electricity howls in the bones of her face," you kind of think, well, what does that mean? You know, and it's a way almost like maybe some children who, you know, who are particularly gifted or particularly not gifted or whatever, they see the world through their senses. You know, they can see the colour orange, you know, and things like that. It's kind of, it's an impressionistic, kind of an exaggeratedly impressionistic kind of way of looking at the thing, the natural world around you, the touchable world, the tangible world is seen through this prism.
Your latest novel, of course, Heartland, that, it's in the cowboy vernacular?
It's kind of uses the vernacular, but basically, like the people that you've had on your show this morning have covered all the ground that's kind of the book is attempting to kind of, to either snare or to pay homage to, like the rugby team, the kind of triumph of the spirit there, then chorus story about losing someone, that like all these aspects of human nature that everybody without exception goes through, that are dealt with so well by people like Hank Williams, you know, all the great country stars, really, because it's you know, they say that it has been contended that country and western ballads, the best of them certainly, are like mini Shakespearean epics, and you know that they have a beginning, a middle and an end and a kind of a coda, and they can try and explain, and work songs of the past and field songs like Paddy on the Railway, all these things, they kind of explain in very simple terms the really profound feelings.
I mean, you've had such great success. I mean, your books, for instance, Butcher Boy, Breakfast on Pluto, Winterwood. Do you enjoy writing as much as ever? Do you almost enjoy writing more because you've had that success and you don't have to prove yourself every novel you write? Or do you always feel every novel is as important as the rest?
Well, I never really enjoyed writing. you know, to be honest. Like, when you say success, I mean, that's all relative. You know, sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. And, you know, there's so much emphasis placed on success and prizes and reviews now that it's, I find it quite tedious, really. But the thing about writing is that when you get it right, it's very enjoyable. But most of the time, it isn't. And, you know, I was reading the writer Paul Murray was saying something like, writing a novel is like having a friend in hospital. And every day you go in to see, is he or she any better? And so a lot of the time they're worse. I thought that was a good way. I think
that's
it was William Gaddis that actually said it first. But that's pretty much, you know, you climb the stairs, you push the door open, and, you know, very quietly you see how's the patient today? And the patient, get me something, I feel really bad, you know. But one day you go in and there they are bouncing around like a child having recovered from this terrible illness, as children do. And, you know, they want you to bring them for sweets and ice cream. And that's kind of why you write, waiting for that day to happen.
Where do you get your inspiration, obviously, from people and their stories, but when you decide, for instance, Heartland, how long does it take you to plan the structure for your novel? Or do you just start writing? You know, some people
write differently.
It starts
with a feeling, you know. And one of the poems that will be read today, we wouldn't have the time to read it all here now, but Kevin McGahern is going to be reading a poem by Philip Larkin called Dublin-esque.
Okay.
And when Larkin was in Dublin in 1969, it's very, very interesting because it catches Ireland on the cusp of change, you know, just when the 60s were about to kick in. And I'm 63 now, and in a way there comes a time in everybody's life where they feel they no longer have the same stake in the world, that there are terms of references that they no longer quite understand. And it's not to moan or groan or complain or anything, it's just acknowledging that there may be things now that you don't quite grasp. It's maybe moving too fast, and certainly that's true in the digital age, you know. But anyway, to summarize, Larkin is at this funeral. It just happens at an Irish funeral. And he says something like, down stucco side streets where light is pewter and afternoon mist brings lights on in shops. So the funeral passes and he says, there is an air of great friendliness, as if they were honouring one they were fond of. Someone claps time. There is an air of great sadness also. As they wend away, a voice it heard singing of Kitty or Katie, as if the name went once, all love, all beauty. Why I mention that is that people, when I was a kid, and my mother and father were all called Kitty. They're all called Kitty. They're all those names like Ellen and May and all, but you never hear anybody. So all I'm saying is that that is the world. Strangely enough, although you warred with it and fought with it, it formed you in a way that the one I exist in now can't, because I'm formed in it, but it's not forming me. Whatever bit of formation had to be done is now complete. So to get to the point, really, Miriam, when I read that, a voice is heard singing of Kitty or Katie, I kept thinking of this kind of elegiac kind of passing of things, not in a sentimental way, but in the way that you sometimes feel when you hear the steel pedal of Hank Williams. It's kind of a lonesome wail. Part of it is your own mortality of things, but it's also the kind of a point in time you think, Larkin knew Ireland was moving into the modern world, and while it gained so much, there's something about Kitty or Katie that's not sentimental, where people's lives were interchangeable, people had an intimacy about them. There is a kind of a notion that, you know, nobody cared about each other in rural land, but nothing could be further from the truth. You heard it, Cora talking about that earlier on. They did it in different ways, perhaps, but people will always do their best, I think, to care. But there was an intimacy about that kind of poem that kind of sparked what eventually became Heartland. Now, you wouldn't think it because it's set in the remote American West of the imagination, but that's where it comes from. It's that old kind of recherche name.
And today in Smock Alley, how did you decide which poems and songs to include? I'm interested in that.
Yeah, well, the Dublin-esque one Kevin McGahern is going to read, because Philip Larkin really kind of encapsulated that feeling for me, that voice is heard singing. And because he's such a very sensitive actor, I think, you know, and he's usually associated with comedy and he's very, very funny. But I think there's a stillness about him that would really capture that feeling that I was kind of looking for. And all the other participants have various other qualities that can represent aspects of the book, if you know what I mean.
Mm. And the reason, I suppose, you love to hold something like that is you associate, I suppose, for you as a writer, music and song is so interwoven with your writing. It's one and the same almost.
But it's also very much part of the Irish tradition. Like, I mean, when I started writing, people used to kind of say, what are you writing? Oh, these Comalia songs, for these ballads with Comalia names like The Butcher Boy and so on. But again, in the time, shall we say, of Kitty or Katie, there was a kind of a sense, because Ireland was a very poor country and it was under the shadow of a much more prosperous neighbour, that its own culture, its indigenous culture, was in some way a little bit kind of uncouth, you know. And that you'd have things like, you know, you're not going to sing one of those old Comalius, are you? You know, as if this was kind of pretty much inferior art. But then you read Bob Dylan's Chronicles, and he said one of the greatest influence on him as a young writer in the East Village were the Comalius Irish ballads. You know, and he quote thousands of them, like Lord Randall or any of the Clancy Brothers songs. And, you know, when I came of age then, 14 or 15, I started to realise that here was a literal treasure trove, a sort of a huge kind of chest of these kind of emerald gems and golden kind of images and so on, which Greil Marcus, the American cultural sociologist, had talked about the old weird America, you know, where flowers explode. And Bob Dylan has in that synesthetic way discussed that. But I felt that there was exactly the same available here. So that's really why I dove into it, as it were.
And dove into it so well. So today, 2:30, Smock Alley Theatre. If people want to get tickets, I think it's the DublinBookFestival.com. They can probably go along anyway.
They can go along anyway.
2:30 is cheap, Alley, as you say, €5 to €7. It's called Heartland, Words and Music from the Soul's High Lonesome Valley with you, Pat McCabe, and also featuring Kevin McGahern and music by Larry Bowe, Liz Deary, Paddy Goodwin and Ian Lynch of Lancome. Thanks for coming in to chat to me, Pat. We'll chat again. We'll take a break.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.